You may be seated. His words, I mean, that's what we long to hear, his words. And especially, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. Does anybody else want to hear that someday? Wow, you know, that's the goal. But while we're here, we have work to do. We have work to do. We have this kingdom to help build and people to bring to Christ. But let me hear your words. Above all other voices, above all the distractions in this world. And boy, there are a lot of other competing voices, and they are just trying to pull us away and distract us and misinform us. And let us stay true to God and true to his word. And speaking of his word, let's hear from his word in our readings this morning.
Good morning. Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come, and he will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Our next reading is from Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 21. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Again I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Here ends the lesson.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 31 to 37. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There were some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh, said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Invite any children to come up for a children's sermon here. Come on up, guys. You gotta see this up close. Come on. Okay. And we want everybody else to see it too, so what we're gonna do is sort of gather on this side. Come on over here, Jacob. Braden, you swing around this way too so people can see. And yeah, you can be over on this side, we'll split it. Yeah, then we can all see and they can all see. What do we got?
Nothing.
There's a table. Table. What can you do with tables? Put stuff on them. Let's put something on there. Okay, let's do that. Okay. So I got this can of Diet Coke here.
What?
It's been opened already. Okay, and I'm going to set it there. Isn't that cool?
No.
No? It's not? Come around here a little bit. No, nothing. Nothing strange or crazy about that, is there, huh?
It's metal, I like it.
Ooh.
I know your trick.
You know my trick?
One thing, it's this that's holding it.
It's got that. Okay, well, let's go have some other cans and you can try it too here. Okay, here you go. Here you go. You can try it. Why aren't those working?
Because they don't have the same thing.
They have the same thing. They got the same little ridge there.
Then how is it not
holding it? I don't know. It maybe because they're empty. How about try that one? That one's full. Yeah. Balance that one on there, Braden. Go ahead and just set it on its edge there and balance it. Tip it like I did with mine. Let me go over here mine again. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Just all you gotta do is set it like that.
Yeah.
It's not working, huh? I don't want that one falling off.
Because
gravity is pulling it down, right? It's got a center of gravity and a center of mass. That's the physics part of it. But how is it that this one will do that and yours won't? I can even turn around like that. Whoops. What do you think, Braden? What do you observe?
Yours is full.
It's full? It's not full, but
yes,
it had some water in it.
Yes,
is it full all the way? Oh, it's full up to about there. It's got 80 milliliters of water in it. Not, okay, I'll put this one in your other hand. Tell me, is that one full all the way? No, just part way, right? But what we can do is we take the right amount of water, and you have to come back around this way again so people can see. Okay, you got to come back around this way so they can see. We're going to pour in 80 milliliters of water. And now you're going to find out if you gently set it like that. Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
Nice. Okay, so what does this have to do with anything, huh?
Well, because it got water in it.
And it had the right amount. It had balance.
And now
it had the right amount. It had balance. Okay, if we're totally empty, we're not going to balance well. Just think about what God's given us. He's given us things like, you know, all these resources and finances. And if we have, you know, no finances, no money, whatever, we're not going to do well, are we? And if we have too much, then, well, we're going to be giving away all kinds of temptations, and that doesn't work well either. We're not living a balanced life if we don't have enough or if we have too much. But if we have enough, if God just gives us enough, then we'll do well in life. He's going to give us enough. He'll always provide. He'll always give us enough. Again, if we have an empty can, it's not going to work. If we have a can that's full, that's not balancing your life either if you have excess and too much, you know. But if we just have enough, if God provides enough, and he will, we'll always have that balance in our lives. Okay, so thank you, God, that you have given us enough and that you do continue to provide enough that we can get by just fine in this world and bring the joy to others. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks, kids. Appreciate it. We We could have got into the physics of the tau equals FD sine theta on both sides and everything like that too, but we'll save that for when they're 12th grade, okay? Yeah. We can do more of the physics, which is just as fun. I mean, doing the calculations, you gotta love it. All right, Lord, we thank you that you give us balance in our lives. You know, even though sometimes we become unbalanced, you are a God of balance. You're a God that, you know, just gives us enough and you know what's right for us. So help us to trust in you, knowing that you will fulfill our needs. Maybe not always our wants, but our needs. Amen. Alrighty. So last time, like I said, it was on sight. And what a miracle that we can see. We got into how it works, and I'm just amazed that all these little pieces and parts, millions indeed of them, came into alignment in your mother's womb and you woke up, or you came up being able to see. That we are truly fearfully and wonderfully made. And the development that goes on inside. Right now we're waiting on a new grandson to come. And he's not due till the end of February, but right now he's got a beating heart already. And he's got ears that are starting to recognize sounds perhaps. And all these amazing things are happening just because his mom's giving him blood and nutrients. And all these little pieces are coming together to form a pancreas, to form a little toe, to form all these things. I was just, wow, God. And then inside those eyes that are forming, like we said, there's a million nerve fibers that are going from the optic nerve, from the retina to the brain, to carry the electrical signals to form pictures. And you just, I'm in awe. These things we take for granted. Way too many things. And another thing we take for granted perhaps is hearing. Hearing, like sight, is an incredible design. Our bodies are an incredible design, which, if they're a designer, requires a designer, a creator. One who has, wow, the ability to make all these cells come in self-directed and assemble. I'm fascinated by something like an egg. If you got an egg, inside there's a yolk and then some whitish goo. That's about it. But does anything enter that egg during the 21 days that it incubates? No. Everything in there is just the right amount of cells to make a brain, to make eyes that see, the optic nerves of the cheek, if you will, and the little pancreas and all the little feet and the larynx that chirps. All those things self-assemble in 21 days with no outside influence other than the mother providing warmth. I mean, truly miraculous. Okay, so hearing. That's what we heard about today in the gospel. A man regaining his hearing. Now, sight is probably my favorite sense. If I'm going to lose any of my senses, like I said last Sunday, I won't lose my sight. But hearing is amazing as well. If your hearing starts to go, you don't know what you're missing. Beginning of September, my family talked me into getting these hearing aids. And now I can, in the morning, enjoying my coffee out on the deck, I'm hearing birds and stuff and that I was missing out on. I just got to remember to take them out. I found out I was out in the shop the first time I picked up the angle grinder. Okay, yep, they're working, right? Shot a duck the other day, stuck up on a canvas back, forgot that they were in. Yeah, okay, they're working, yeah. But getting used to it. But the idea of sound in physics and in biology, if you make a sound just like that, you're hearing it. Even with your eyes closed, you hear it, you identify as a snap of fingers, what's happening, okay. Well, this sets air molecules to vibrating, creates waves. Those waves propagate through the air to you, one molecule bumping in the next, getting to your ears. And there, the vibrational waves enter, and they set a chain of events into motion. First of all, they hit the tympanic membrane called the eardrum. That's going to separate the two parts of the ear there. And it's going to vibrate at the right frequency and intensity so that you recognize the snap of the fingers or else a word, such as word. Okay? That then will go to a natural amplifier. You can hear me well because of an amplifier. This microphone is hooked to an amplifier in the back and then to these speakers. And you have natural amplifiers in your ears, three tiny bones, the hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup. And those set into motion, one of them hitting the next, and it increases, it amplifies the signal. Next, it's going to go then, these vibrations in your cochlea. It's a spiral-shaped thing. And this is, wow, it's amazing enough that you grew three little bones in each ear that work, and that they can move and then hit each other and amplify. But inside the cochlea, this is the equivalent of the retina in the eye. This is where the sound changes into electricity. In your cochlea, you have 15,000 hair cells. 15,000 hair cells that grew in there in just the right places to just the right length So they can respond to different frequencies and amplitudes. And they then convert that the vibrations into electrical signals that go to your brain. Again, the brain, all it can do is take in electrical signals from the eyes and from the ears, etc. And then it organizes those signals into the coherent recognition of the snap of fingers or something, you know, with your eyes closed, or else speech, that you understand words. Wow. Wow. Then the brain can store those things too, and that's just a whole nother miracle, absolutely. And then recognize and recall words and sounds. And I mean, just the way we're designed, it's truly incredible, God. Truly incredible. You do good work. Okay. So our ears then can respond to different frequencies between 20 and 20,000 hertz. There are sounds that are too low for us to hear. Whales can communicate with infrasonic. There are sounds that are too high for us to hear, such as a bat squeaking to use echolocation. Our dogs can hear higher than we can. And if hearing doesn't work, and it doesn't, there's a percentage of the world population that is deaf. And that's tough because it isolates a person. You can't engage in the communication with other people normally. You can't enjoy the music that they're enjoying. It's really an isolating thing to be deaf. And nowadays we have American Sign Language, and of course they had some signs back in the biblical times. The family of this guy probably recognized if he was thirsty, he'd do something for water, whatever, they could recognize it. Nowadays, people have been blessed with, like, texting. For the deaf community, that was huge. They can't talk on the phone easily, but now they can text back and forth with people. Or even meeting someone on the street, you could, you know, write a sentence real quick and show it to them. It has changed everything. It's huge. But in Jesus' time, again, there's this isolation, and that's what this man had been experiencing. He was isolated from society, isolated from his friends, from his family. Some could understand his needs, but he couldn't communicate fully. He couldn't enjoy things like music and poetry. Again, feeling left out, you can imagine, until Jesus came along and changed everything. Yeah, until Jesus came and changed everything. Doesn't that just apply to so much? When Jesus came and changed everything. So this guy had never heard of Jesus, we can be assured, because he couldn't hear, but his friends had. And he had some good friends that led him to Jesus. And there's another good one, friends that led him to Jesus. And let us be friends that lead people to Jesus as well. They took this guy by the hand, and they led him to Jesus and begged for him to be healed. Similar to the man lowered for the roof. It was his buddies that did it, right? At other times, Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Here's the faith of his friends. Knowing what Jesus can do. Or maybe just having heard what he could do and were curious to see if it was real. Either way, they bring him to Jesus and they beg Jesus to place his hand on him. Well, did Jesus have to place a hand on him? No. He could just say, be healed, and that'll be it. Instead, for some reason, he puts his fingers into the guy's ears and spits on his finger, puts it on his tongue, and says, be opened. And it happened. I'm still not sure why he did that. Again, he didn't have to. He had just got done healing someone from a distance. He had sent a demon out of a girl from a distance in the preceding passage there. And here he is, could have just done it from a distance, but he engages with this guy. At this, the man's ears are opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. That's pretty cool. But if you get into it, to recognize sounds, you watch a little kid learning sounds, learning to recognize words, it takes a while. This guy had not heard sounds before, and instantly he's recognizing language. A language he's never heard before. Can you imagine going to, I don't know, Borneo or something like that, and everybody's speaking this different language? You can't understand them. You can hear sounds, but you can't make sense out of them. This guy is all of a sudden making sense out of them as well. There's brain pathways, neural pathways that are instantly created. Furthermore, he's able to speak plainly. How long does it take a little kid to learn how to form sounds, to move your tongue and your lips in the right way, to use the right amount of air to make recognizable sounds? And this guy could do it immediately. Truly a miracle on a number of levels. And, you know, that's God. This is truly amazing. I did a little research this week because I had heard mention of in the past some cases where some people had been raised away from other people, so didn't really have a language. And I was curious, how do they think then? Because do we think in words or not? And that got into a dive into psychology and philosophy and all kinds of things. And there's disagreement. And if we think in words or we think in pictures or a combination of both, we each all have our internal thinking language or thought language. But I did find out a couple of cases. One where a boy had survived in the wilderness without other people. You know, it's sort of like the equivalent to raised by wolves somehow, till the age of 10 or 11. And then he was, if you will, captured or brought into society. And they started teaching him words. There's a certain window in which your brain forms the ability to speak and recognize words. He was past that, and he never did form complete sentences. That's fascinating. We have a developmental stage, and if you miss it, he came to recognize some words, could say some simple words, and communicate his needs. Another example, unfortunately, and this one as a foster parent really bugs me, not only as a foster parent, but just as a human being, a girl that had been raised basically in a closet, been fed, never talked to, never shown love. She was rescued at a later age, and they worked with her, trying to teach her how to speak. Could not form sentences, had missed that developmental window once again. Luckily had the rest of her life where she had her needs met and was, you know, shown love and everything else. But it's fascinating, then again, if you miss that developmental window at a certain age, you're never going to fully be able to speak in complete sentences and understand completely. Yet this guy could. I mean, again, it's a work of God. It is truly a work of God. All right, so this hearing is great. It's a gift that we have. And it can start to recede in older years, you know, like I say, with the hearing aids. But it's going to be restored along with everything else. That's what we heard in Isaiah 35 today. Isaiah 35, it's sort of like Revelations 21, where John writes of the new heaven and the new earth, where there'll be no more sin, no more shame, no more suffering, no more guilt. God will make his dwelling with us, and we'll all be restored. It's beautiful. And that's what Isaiah is prophesying here. 700-800 years before Jesus came on the scene. He's talking about what's to come. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. I no longer jump off the tailgate of a truck. I climb down, okay? I used to do it without thinking. But as you get a little bit older, you start to think a little more, perhaps. Okay? Eyes of the blind will be opened. This is going to happen, right? Everybody's going to be made whole in the coming kingdom. The ears of the deaf unstopped. Yes, Lord, help us to hear. Help us to hear. And while we're here as well. Then will the lame leap like a deer, the mute tongue shout for joy. No limitations. People that have birth defects and have their whole life handicapped here in the coming life will not have that. It's going to be beautiful to see people that live their whole life here with, say, Down syndrome or something like that, or severe autism, all of a sudden made whole. That's going to be great, where they're able to, everybody's able to jump and shout and praise God. But while we are here, we still have work to do, because that kingdom is to come, and it has not come yet. So let us use our ears while we're here, this precious gift that we have from God, to hear from him as well as from others. God is speaking. Are we listening? He's speaking through dreams, through visions. He speaks through his word when you read it. He speaks when you pray. He'll speak through other people at times where they'll have a word of knowledge and you'll just go, whoa, okay, that's God speaking through you. I was just thinking about that, and all of a sudden out of the blue you have the solution, etc. It's just, he speaks in so many ways. Let our ears be unstopped, that we can hear God and hear him clearly. That's still a small voice, if he chooses to speak through that. Sometimes an audible voice. People have heard that at special times. But he is seeking to speak to us. And he's listening on his end. When we bring our prayers and our requests to him, he's listening. He's always listening. And let the mute tongue shout for joy. Let us use our tongues to proclaim him, to shout for joy, but also to shout for joy about what God has done in our lives, to give our testimony to others. All this is going to happen. There's going to be this highway called the Way of Holiness upon which those who believe will be able to walk. Unfortunately, many won't be there. And let us, in this time that we have here, bring more people to make heaven crowded. We have a job to do. And Paul wrote about that in Romans as well. Paul, who is trying to bring this congregation in Rome together, Jews and Gentiles. The Jews, of course, would have nothing to do with the Gentiles in their culture. But he's trying to mold them and shape them into this new set of believers that's believing in Jesus, not in the old ways, but in the Messiah who has come. So the reading today started, "For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all." Now that's not just Jew and Gentile, that's all of us. Is anybody better than anybody else? No, we are not. And let us never think that we are better than anyone else. Let us be the humble servant as Jesus was, serving others, loving others, showing through our words and our actions that we are Christians. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Let us call on him, right? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So as an individual, call on him. As a community, call on him. As a congregation, call on him. As the body of Christ, let us call on him. But then Paul enters into this string in the next two sentences here, and we're going to take it apart in a different way here. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The key is to call on him. But how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And then how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Okay, so that was a string, but let's just take that one backwards. Let's flip that one there. In order for someone to come to belief, if we take it backwards, someone has to be sent. The person that is sent has to preach the words, has to share about Jesus. And then the result of that preaching, the person receiving has to hear it. And then through hearing, they can come to belief. So it requires that people be sent to preach, and those will hear, and then they can come to belief. And that's how this can be accomplished. And who is he going to send? Well, missionaries, right? Yeah, they go to faraway places and they preach this good news that others can hear and believe. But not just missionaries, each of us. Are there people around us right now, or even that you know, who don't believe? In order to believe, they have to hear. Who are they going to hear it from? Us. And you may say, well, I'm certainly not cut out to be a preacher. And hey, we all have different gifts. Some people are, others are not. But can we all testify? Can we all share what God has done in our lives? Can we all, through our actions, show what God has done in our lives? And actions can speak louder than words, as they say. So we are the priesthood of all believers, as Martin Luther said. We are the ones who carry the message to others. And you may not be doing it intentionally, but just by the way you interact with people as you walk down the street, you're carrying God's presence. You can be bringing people hope. You could make their day without even realizing it, God working through you. So when you recognize those opportunities, you know, find a way to just sort of slide God into the conversation a little bit there, to bring into mind. Maybe it's as simple as, you know, making a transaction at a store and then at the end of it say, hey, God bless you, have a good day. Did you just bring God to mind for that person? Yeah. Maybe they hadn't thought of God in weeks or months. And you just gave them the opportunity to think a little bit. And when you say bless you, don't just say it as words. Let it never be a phrase. You know, how's it going? Okay. Or good is the proper response, right? How's it going today? Good. And you? Good. It's just the response everybody expects. It just becomes a word, right? If you're honest, if everybody's honest about how things are going today, that could lead to a very extended conversation. But we just do the right social thing, if you will. But when we bless people, let it be meaningful, let it be real, that we are asking God to pour out his blessings upon that person in many ways. And it'll make a difference in their lives. So we all preach, but not everybody hears, not everybody accepts. It says, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. Yes, Jesus brought the good news to everybody. And a lot of people did not accept it back then. And even today, a lot of people are not accepting it. But let us never give up in doing what is right, huh? Verse 17 then follows, and this one was big for Martin Luther. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. And he was saying that people have to come to the church then, or to hear the preacher preach so they can hear the message. I'm not going to say it's that way. We are all preaching the message. People need to hear it. And by hearing it, by becoming aware about God and learning more about him, then that faith can grow and thrive. May we have ears to hear once again. God is speaking. Are we listening? So the message is heard through the word of Christ, but I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Now there's a difference between hearing and listening too. My wife taught me that. Are you listening? I heard you, but are you listening? Big difference. And furthermore, did Israel not understand? So we could hear but not understand. But let that not be the case. May we hear, Lord. May we understand. And may we be fired up to bring it to more, Lord, that you can use us to bring this message of salvation, this hope for the future, the peace that we can have in this life and into the next, the joy that's available to all. Because God is faithful and he is good. He's doing his part. Are we doing our part? So, Lord, give us ears to hear. To hear what you're speaking to each of us, Lord. Give us the will to follow through. Give us ears to hear and a tongue to proclaim, just like this man, Lord, that after he was healed, he started telling everybody about it. He had this amazing testimony. And let us similarly share, Lord, that others may hear and believe.